Appreciate so much the good worship service this morning and all of the men who have gone into leading the service today. We're very thankful for each one of them and the great job that they have done so far in helping us to focus our minds toward Jesus and toward the cross and toward the Word of God, which is what we turn to study at this moment. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12, we have a series of blessings that Jesus pronounces. It's often referred to as the Beatitudes. Now, we've been studying the Beatitudes on and off for over a year now. And we're going to finish up studying the Beatitudes this morning as we look at the last Beatitude, and that's verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5. But let's read together these Beatitudes starting in verse 2. And going through verse 10. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This last beatitude is somewhat of a paradox. The word blessed that Jesus uses here is a word that has the notion or the idea of joy attached to it. Nevertheless, what Jesus is saying here is, rejoice when you are persecuted. Well, that's something that many people find it very difficult to do, to find joy and to find peace when someone else is pursuing you to the point of making your life very difficult. Whether it may be from just verbal accusations that are made against you, or whether it may be a physical thing where they have control over your body and how your body is going to feel. Nevertheless, this idea of blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake is one that Jesus sets forth here in this context of Beatitudes, and one that we need to consider and think about. And that's what we're going to do this morning. You know, each one of these Beatitudes has three different sections. There is the pronouncement of blessing. And the idea behind this word blessing is that a person is happy, or a person is content, or a person is filled with joy as a result of the thing that comes next, which is the description of the attitude itself. And that, of course, is poor in spirit, or those that mourn, the meek, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, etc. And then there is the blessing that comes, or the disposition of blessing that comes as a result of having this attitude within our life. And we see in the first one and the last one are the same. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But for others, they'll be comforted, they'll inherit the earth, they'll obtain mercy, they'll be called the sons of God. And so there's an inherent blessing that results from having these attitudes within our life. Well, in this last beatitude, as we mentioned, it's somewhat paradoxical. It seems like that it couldn't possibly be the case that we would be blessed while we're being persecuted. Well, how could that happen? How could that result? Yet this is exactly what Jesus teaches, and it's a great lesson for us to learn. And so for a few moments this morning, let's think about how one can be blessed when one is persecuted. And I want us to think of four things in relationship to being blessed when we're persecuted. First of all, we want to think of and remember that we're blessed because of our relationship with God. Now, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, he's not talking about being persecuted for some other reason or for some other purpose, but for righteousness' sake. And that's important. But then secondly, when we can be blessed when we're persecuted because of the reality of knowing the truth. Third, because we understand the recompense of the wicked. And then finally, because of the reward of the righteous. Now, we can have all these things in mind when we're being persecuted and remember what Jesus said, then we'll be blessed indeed. Well, one can be blessed when one is persecuted because of the Christian's relationship with God. Blessedness comes from knowing that God is really on our side. And if the Christian understands this, then it's not going to matter how much persecution is brought to bear against him. He's going to realize that God is with him wherever he goes. Now, a lot of times persecution is brought to bear upon people in order to get them to change something that they either believe or the way that they're acting in one way or another. And so that persecution comes upon us from the outside because people on the outside don't agree with the way we're living our life or don't think that what we're doing is right. And we're starting to see some of that happen in the United States of America today. In fact, you can see very clearly that there are some people who are pursuing the persecution of other people in the United States simply because they disagree with the way that they live their lifestyle or something to that effect. For example, there are some people in this country who bake cakes, and they have refused to bake cakes for homosexual weddings. And as a result of that, the power of the state has been leveled against them and brought to bear against them to persecute them, to try to change them so that they will do what society and what culture wants them to do. I'm glad to say that in some cases the bakers have refused and have simply said, well, we're not going to do what the state tells us to do in that regard because we have a higher obligation to God to follow what's right instead of to cave in to the demands of those who are seeking to persecute because of a disagreement of a matter in regard to how a person should live their life. And that disagreement comes because individuals believe in the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches, as opposed to believing in the desires of the flesh. But Jesus says that we can know that God is on our side, and so therefore it doesn't matter what resources that the enemy may bring to bear against us, knowing that God is with us. And so blessedness comes from knowing that God is on our side. What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Psalm 46 and verses 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Jeremiah 20 and verse 11 reads, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. So we can be blessed knowing that God is on our side. We can be blessed knowing that God understands what it's like for us to be persecuted. In fact, it says of Jesus that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. And Peter says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23. And so God understands what it's like to be persecuted. And so we can be blessed knowing that God understands. And we can be blessed knowing that we are a child of God regardless of the persecution that may be brought to bear upon us. In Galatians 4 and verses 6 through 7, Paul writes, "And because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ Jesus." And John writes in 1 John 3 and verse 1, "Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." So to be children of God is a great blessing, and we can endure persecution and even count it as being blessed if we'll remember our relationship with God, that God is with us, that He understands, and that we are His children. Now that's great blessedness. And so blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. But then secondly, we can count being persecuted blessed because of the reality of truth. Blessedness comes from knowing that truth doesn't change. And it's so important that we base our relationship with God upon the truth and not just upon and not upon our feelings. Now, a lot of people base their relationship with God upon their feelings. And they say, well, if I'm feeling good, then that means God is with me. If I'm not feeling good, then that means God's not with me. But that's deceptive. And that's the wrong way to think about God, because think about it. If you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're likely not feeling very good. Okay? Persecution is not supposed to feel good. It doesn't feel good. That's the whole point of the people who are persecuting you. They're trying to make you feel bad so that you'll do something that God tells you not to do. So persecution can cause us to feel bad, and we can have bad feelings even. But those bad feelings do not indicate what our relationship with God is. And so therefore also good feelings don't necessarily indicate what our relationship with God is. Now good feelings will result if our relationship is right with God, and we want that to happen. But we ought not to make the mistake that just because we're feeling good, that means that we're in a right relationship with God. A right relationship with God comes from the reality of truth. And blessedness comes from knowing, first of all, that truth doesn't change. You know, if truth changed, we would never know if we were being persecuted, if we deserved it or not. Now think about that for a minute. If truth changed, it could be one thing one day and one thing the next. And what would that mean? That would mean, well, it'd be right to be persecuted for it this day, and then be wrong to be persecuted for it that day. And you should hold on to it this day, but then you should let go of it on this day. That's not right. That's not the nature of truth. That's not the nature of God and who He is. That's not the nature of Jesus Christ and who He is. God is permanent. God is fixed. He's unwavering. He doesn't change. In Malachi 3:6, God says, "I am the Lord, I change not." In Psalm 117 and verse 2, it says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, we read, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And so we can, and that's good, because we can depend upon God. You know, you can't depend upon something that changes all the time. You can't depend upon it. If you have a car, if the tires are constantly changing their inflation levels, you can't depend upon that, can you? Right? If you're standing on the deck of a boat and you're constantly changing, you can't depend upon that. You're going to fall out of the boat, right? You need something that's firm, something that's steady, something that's not going to change in order to have something that's dependable. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't change and that Jesus doesn't change and that His truth stays the same, because I can depend upon that truth. I can cast my anchor into the truth of God's Word and ride out those storms, so that the waves and the storms and the terrible seas of life will not affect me, and then I can keep on trucking along and keep on going. The reality of truth. And blessedness comes from knowing that one, that truth doesn't change, and that one can obey the truth. We want to obey the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now notice what he said first. We have to abide in his words. We can't just do whatever we want. We've got to live for him. We've got to abide in his words. We've got to keep his truth. We've got to obey Christ's will for our lives in order for the truth to set us free. If we don't do that, then the truth's not going to set us free. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Obeying the truth. We've got to obey the truth in order for us to have that blessedness that Christ wants in our life. Blessedness comes from obeying that truth, and it comes from knowing that truth will ultimately prevail. In Romans 2 and verse 2, we read, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them who commit such things." Psalm 96 and verse 13 says, "For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with his truth." And so the truth will judge. Revelation 19 and verse 11, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." The truth. So we have truth. And when truth prevails, we can know that we are blessed. So the reality of truth helps us to endure persecutions and helps us to be blessed through those persecutions. But then third, the recompense of the wicked. That is, we can be blessed knowing during persecution, we can be blessed knowing that the wicked will receive a recompense. Blessedness comes from knowing that there's going to be, the wicked are going to receive their recompense. Now, we want to keep in mind that it's not the Christian's desire that the wicked are lost. Okay? Now, it's not our desire. In fact, God does not desire that. He does not desire that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And so as Christians, we've got to make that our desire, that the lost, that is the wicked, would not perish, but that they would come to repentance. And as difficult as it may seem, even those who persecute us, we should desire their salvation. Consider Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1 verses 15 and 16 about himself. Now, Paul was a persecutor. He was somebody who hated Christians, and he went after them. But listen to what he says. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to those who should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." So Paul says, "I'm an example to everyone that persecutors should have an opportunity to be saved. Now that's tough for us to handle, especially when we're being persecuted, because the last thing that we're looking for is to save the person who's persecuting us. We're looking to get out of that persecution, and then usually the first thing that's on our mind is revenge. How am I going to get back at this guy? How am I going to get back at this person? But that's not what God wants. That's not what He wants. He wants us to forgive. He wants us to offer salvation to those who would persecute us. Now, that is recompense for the wicked. If the wicked will repent and turn to the Lord and call upon the justice that's found at the cross of Jesus Christ, then there is recompense for the wicked, because they receive the same forgiveness that we receive through the cross of Jesus Christ, and have the same opportunity to be saved that we have through the cross of Jesus Christ. And you see, that's what we should want. That's the right recompense, because that's the recompense that God paid through His Son, Jesus, the recompense of the wicked. And so Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us Jesus' attitude toward the wicked. It says, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God." You see, Jesus didn't see all the wicked that ever lived as those who He needed to enact divine justice upon. He saw them as people in need of redemption. He saw them as people in need of salvation. And He saw a future in which many, many people would take advantage of the offer that God made through Him and be saved. And it was for that joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross, knowing that He was going to have some who would respond in love, in faith, in obedience, and that would come to the cross, take advantage of the conditions of pardon that God offered, and be reconciled to God to live in loving brotherhood forever. Now that's what God wants, and that's what we should want as well, and that's what we should be thinking about when we're being persecuted. I know it's tough, I know it's difficult, but that's what God wants. And so blessedness comes from knowing that for the wicked there is still hope. But blessedness also comes from knowing that personal vengeance isn't needed. Now, personal vengeance will eat you alive. It will destroy you. It will cause you to have all kinds of horrible thoughts and horrible attitudes toward other people. And we want to avoid that. We don't want that within our lives, and we certainly don't want it in our thinking. And you know, it's a blessing not to have to worry about righting all of the wrongs that have been done to me in this life. You see, I don't have to do that. That's not my job. And God doesn't want me to do it. In fact, just the opposite. God says, "I will take care of righting all of the wrongs that are done to you in this life, so that you can be free from that," you see. You see, it's not that God wants to take away our freedom. He wants to give us our freedom. But when we're enslaved to trying to right all of the wrongs that have been done to us in life, that's a horrible situation to be in. That's a terrible situation to be in. That's a situation in which we are enslaved to all of those injustices that go on around us. And look, that is not a good place to be. We want to be free from that. And God gives us freedom from that. Listen to what He says in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy hungers, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And Jesus said in Matthew 5:38-42, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist that you do not resist evil, but whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. Now that's all about not trying to enact our personal sense of vengeance upon others. That's what it's about. And so we need to give place to God to work in our lives, to accomplish good things, not to give place to evil things. Blessedness comes from knowing that the wicked, for the wicked there's still hope. Blessedness comes from knowing that we don't have to enact personal vengeance. And blessedness comes from knowing, finally, that the impenitent are not going to get away with their wickedness. Not because we're going to punish them, but because God will. Now, ultimately, that's not what God wants, but he will do it if they are impenitent, if they don't repent. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But then finally, we can be blessed during persecution, knowing that there is a reward for the righteous. Blessedness comes from knowing that persecution is just temporary. In 1 Peter 1, 6, we read, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Just for a season, he says. And Paul wrote in Romans 8, 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so persecution is temporary. Blessedness comes from knowing that persecution is commended by God. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James 1 and verse 2. And if you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. 1 Peter 4 and verse 14. You're being like Jesus when you're persecuted and you're taking it the way God wants you to take it. That's commendable. And then blessedness comes from knowing that heaven awaits those who are persecuted and live faithfully. For we know that if our earthen house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can the persecuted be blessed? Absolutely. In fact, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why? Because they understand their relationship with God. Because they understand the reality of truth. Because they understand the recompense of the wicked. And because they understand the reward of the righteous. Have you been persecuted in your life? I think there are some among us who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then there are some who have been persecuted and have taken it well. Some of us have not taken it well. I've been persecuted and not taken it well in my life. And some of us haven't. But we need to take it the way that God wants us to take it. Let's remember that God is with us. Let's remember that God knows what is best. That he provides for his people. And that he is going to bless us if we will turn to him. Do you need to turn to God this morning? Do you need to give your life to him? To become a child of God? To have the blessing of knowing your relationship with God? To have a life that's lived upon the reality of truth? Why not become his child this morning? Through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized for the remission of sins. If you need the prayers of the church today, because maybe you haven't handled persecution so well, then now is the time to ask. And we will pray with you and for you so that God can work powerfully in your life to help you with your needs. Why not come this morning while together we stand and while we sing?